You were what, like 27 years old, driving an Uber?
Yeah, I started doing Uber on and off. I actually started doing Uber. I can't remember the year. I want to say maybe around 2014 while I was working a regular 9 to 5, just looking to make some extra money. So just doing it kind of on and off. Always had like that entrepreneurship spirit, but just didn't really quite know what was gonna. I didn't want to be a minimum wage entrepreneur. I wanted to be a wealthy entrepreneur. So I was just trying to figure out what lane or what niche would get me there. So
Yeah.
yeah, Uber was just something that just gave me some extra money part time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where does that desire, that entrepreneurial spirit kind of come from? Like, was anyone in your family in the business? Like, anyone in your community?
Actually, no. You know
Wow.
what? It was just, I don't know. I always had this burning desire for like success. I never, you know what it was? When I started working, my first job, I think I was maybe 19. 19 to 21, that was my first job. And I just knew that I didn't want to work a job. I didn't like the restrictions of, I felt like a robot,
Right.
having to get up a certain time, having to report to be somewhere a certain time. And I remember the first job I had to actually quit after 3 months because I wanted to take a day off to go like to an amusement park and they didn't give me the day off. So I knew early I didn't want a job. I didn't want to work for anybody. I just wanted freedom. Like I still wanted to make money, but I just wanted to have some type of freedom.
Where was home for you?
Home is California. It's a small city called Manteca, California, not far from the Bay Area.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so you started working all these jobs and working hard in them, but you knew it wasn't for you.
Yeah.
So like, what was your first? Did you ever like dip your toe in the entrepreneurial water?
Yeah, so my first thing, I was always passionate about dance. I was naturally good
Okay,
at
cool.
dance. Yeah. So I used to think that I was going to be this dancer, dance for famous people and make a whole lot of money, and that was going to create financial freedom. And then when I started to dance, I moved to LA, early 20s, and it was tough. It was competitive, and I realized it wasn't going to be as easy as I thought it would be. So I just continued to work. And in my first leap of faith, I was about 28, and I've been at this job for about 5 years. And I was just like, you know what? I want to just pursue dance. Like, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. So I quit that job and I just started dancing full time. Didn't have a plan. I don't know what I was thinking. But I was lucky to get in the right network of people that were had really good connections. So I wasn't making a lot of money dancing, but I was enjoying myself. But I had become a struggling artist, to be honest. So that was my first experience with entrepreneurship.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So you weren't a minimum wage entrepreneur, you were a minimum wage dancer.
Exactly. I was a struggling artist. Yes. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean a lot of artists do.
Yeah.
Like that desire to like creatively express yourself, like it can be hard to make the commerce side to that work at the same time.
Yeah.
What was it like moving to the big city?
It was different because I grew up in a small, it was like a farm town almost. Like it was cows right across the street from my high school. I did have family in LA, so I was kind of familiar with the area. But it was different. It was a culture shock, but I loved it. I was excited just to see like the big buildings and meet new people. In LA, it's like people from all over the world moved there. So it was a big culture shock for
A
me.
lot of different accents.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Yep.
So why did you go all in on dance? Because it wasn't safe. It didn't make sense. Even you talking about it now, you're like, I don't know why I did that. Like,
Yeah. It was a passion. It was just something when I was younger. I remember I used to watch. I don't know if you heard of Usher. He's one
yeah,
of, okay.
100%. Yeah.
I used to love Usher, and he was really the one that inspired me to dance. I just remember I used to watch his videos when I got home from school, and I would just kind of see what he did and just copy the videos. So it was just something that I was always really passionate about. Like I'm really into music. So that was the one thing that I enjoyed and that I knew. If I pursued it, I could probably turn it into a career. Now, I'll say back then I didn't have the right mindset. Like now I'm saying that when I started to pursue dance, it was tough. Back then I didn't have the mindset that I have now that you just got to keep going.
Right.
Back then it was like, no, this is too hard. I just got to figure out something else. So I feel like if I had pursued it, then I probably could have made, you know, something out of it.
Do you think if like somehow you were able to like put Rashida's brain that you have now into younger Rashida whenever she was dancing, do you think you would have made it?
Oh yeah, for
That's
sure.
super interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I still could. I think I still could. I put it on a back burner because I do find passion in what I'm doing now. But yeah, definitely. I have the right mindset now, I believe.
Yeah, I think we'll talk a lot about mindset as we get into this, because I think that's a huge part of your journey.
Yeah.
From what I know about you.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the dancing thing, and like, at what point do you realize like, this ain't it?
So about 2 years in, I mean.
2 years is, like, that's respectable.
Yeah, I did it for 2 years, just full-time dance. And just looking back, I don't even know how I was paying my bills. Like, but I realized, I think I got into my, I think I was just turning 30 or close to 30. And I was just like, you know what? I'm struggling. Like, I'm just getting to that point where I don't want to struggle financially anymore. So that's when I started saying, okay, maybe I need to go back and I just needed to figure out something else. I had been, like I said, a struggling artist for 2 years now. When I danced, I was never dancing for mainstream artists. It was like a lot of underground artists. I was going on tours and I was enjoying myself, but I guess the realm that I was in, they were up and coming artists too. So they just didn't have a big budget to pay their dancers. So as passionate as I was about it, and to be honest, I really didn't want to quit. I had just got to a point where I was between a rock and a hard place. Like I said, I don't know how I was even making it financially, but I got to a point where I had pretty much just run out of all of my resources. So I had no choice but to just start over at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, as you said earlier, it's like you had that desire to be a wealthy entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does that come from? Because like, there are a lot of people who are like, yeah, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At whatever the salary amount is.
Yeah.
And then there's those of us that are like, no, actually, like, want more.
Yeah.
Like, if you kind of unpick that, like, do you know where that comes from?
I think it's just, like, I'm big on family. Like, I don't have any children. I don't have my own family, but my immediate family. I've always wanted to, like, do things for my mom, like, buy her a house. My dad, God rest his soul, he passed away. But if he was still around, I just always wanted to do big things for them.
Yeah.
And then even my brother works so hard. He's an engineer. He just had a baby, new wife. And he spends so much time away from home because he has to work. So I'm just like, of course, I would love to be wealthy, but unselfishly, I want to be able to provide opportunities for my family. So I think that's where the wealth part comes in.
Mm.
And then freedom, like wealthy brings you financial freedom. Like I want to be able to have freedom to travel and still make money, you know. And I know it's possible because I see these people doing it. So it's like, if they can do it, I know I can do it. I just got to figure it out.
So you're in between the rock and the hard place. You need to make money.
Yeah.
What do you start to do in those early stages?
So I actually went back to working a 9-to-5. I got my first corporate job. So I moved back to California. At the time when I was dancing, I had moved to the East Coast. So I was living in Philadelphia at the time. Dancing wasn't working out. I moved back home where I had family. I got a corporate job and I worked there for a couple of years. And I was still having that feeling, like, even though it was a good job, I was just like, I don't want to do this. Like, I really want to start my own business. So while I was working at that job, I was there for about 3 years. I had started another pursuit, which was I started a skincare business. And I was going to try to get that off of the ground.
How did that go?
So it went good, actually. Before I even moved back to California, I just remember one day I don't know how I got into it. I was like buying some conditioner for my hair and I was reading the ingredients and I'm like, what are these ingredients? Like, what does it mean? And I just started studying like natural products. So I remember being in my kitchen one day and I just started making like skincare products and I got really into it. So when I transitioned over to my job, I was like, I want to start a skincare business. It was just something else that I found passion in. So I started the skincare business and it was actually doing really well. I want to say maybe within 3 months. So within the first month, I probably only made like $100. The second month, I probably made about $300. The third month, I made about $500 just selling my products.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were making these?
Making it in my kitchen.
Dude, that's unreal.
I would buy the products in bulk and just, I was very sanitary, you know, made sure I started buying product labels, getting those made.
Yeah, yeah,
like I got really into it.
Wow.
So I was doing good, but I was just like, wow. Like I wanted to get my product in stores. So I started looking around local stores to see how to get my products in there. And I started to see how hard it would be to like really get a business off the ground and then scale it to six figures.
Mm.
So even though my business was doing good, like every month I was making more money, at that point I was like, do I really want to put in the work that it's going to take to get this business? And I already have this 9-to-5. So at that point I started thinking, well, why not just keep this 9-to-5? Like it's a guaranteed paycheck. So I kind of put the skincare business on a back burner and just focused on the 9 to 5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of elbow grease. And even yeah. and the, even the $500 a month skincare business, you know, especially yeah. if you're making it yourself and everything.
Yeah, yeah, that was a lot of work.
Crazy.
Was, and then trying to market. But I was getting a lot of support. I was getting a lot of support in the city that I was in. Yeah. I started to create a little buzz about myself. But like I said, it was just for me to scale it to where I wanted to. And I was doing it by myself. I was like, wow, this is going to be a lot of work.
Sure. So you doubled down on the corporate job?
I did, yeah. So I figured, now the corporate job, it wasn't paying me well. But I told myself, I was like, you know what? If I just work really hard and I prove to this company that they deserve to pay me more, then I just bet on that. And so I just started giving that job everything I got. And after 3 years of being there, they actually fired me unexpectedly.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. And that was my first time ever getting fired. So I was heartbroken. I was devastated. I remember the day I got fired. I'll never forget. I was went home, sat in my apartment, and I was just crying. I was so angry. I was angry because I'd never been fired before. Mm. But the overwhelming thought I had in my head was, how do I make sure this never happens to me again? Like, I've always felt so independent. I've always had a job. I've always had my own place, my own car. And then now that I got fired, it's like my livelihood is flashing before my eyes. How am I going to take care of myself? So I was just like, how do I make sure this never happens to me again? And I just took that as a sign that I have to get serious about entrepreneurship. Like, right. maybe me getting too comfortable was not the right way to go. And this is, you know, divine intervention coming in saying no, pushing me in a direction that I should have been going in. So that's kind of how I took it. Yeah.
To go all in to the corporate job like that. And then
I gave them everything I got. Everything I got. Yeah.
And then the betrayal.
Yeah.
You think it was divine intervention?
That's what I feel like it was.
It's interesting, isn't it?
I'm glad. Even though I went through a really, really hard, things got worse before they got better. Mm. But that's when everything changed for me. When I made that decision to not go back, I just promised myself I'm not going back to another 9 to 5. Just as hurt as I was, I didn't want to feel that again. And that was the best decision that I ever made.
I mean, it's the story of so many entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
It's the story of so many people where it's like that bottom moment actually like turned out to be like a huge gift. Like, can you imagine if you were still in that corporate job now? It's like you wouldn't be in Vegas, you wouldn't have won the school games, you wouldn't be doing the monthly recurring revenue you're doing, you wouldn't be on track. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at like the overall picture of your life, it's like the worst thing that could have happened is you stay in the job.
Exactly. I would be miserable, I wouldn't be happy, I would still be trying to figure out, because I've always, like I said, had that burning desire for entrepreneurship. So I would still be trying to figure out, how do I get out of this corporate trap?
Mm.
So, but that's all behind me now.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So you hit that bottom moment. Mm-hmm. Like, how the hell do you, number one, pick yourself up from that? And then number two, like, what do you do?
So, you know, what's crazy is, like I said, it got worse before it got better. So sure. I lost the job. I ended up losing my apartment. I lost everything. I was living in California at the time. California is expensive. And I didn't have a savings saved up. So I ended up having to move back in with my family. And my family's super supportive. I have a great support system. But at the time, it was just like I hit rock bottom. I lost my job. I'll never forget my credit. Never really took credit serious. I didn't know how important credit was until I started needing things. But no job, bad credit. I remember when I moved back in with my mom, even though I promised I wasn't going to get another job, I got like a little part-time job, saved up some money, bought a car. And then I quit that job and then I just started doing Uber full time.
Nice.
So I wasn't making a lot of money and I was just super uncomfortable. Like, I'm living at home. I'm a grown woman. I've never had to move. I felt like a failure at that mm-hmm. point. Like, I've never had to move back home. And I don't know, something about that did something to me. And I could have easily got another job to get out of that situation. But I just remember telling myself, like, no, I'm not going back to another 9 to 5. So I just have to figure out this entrepreneurship journey one way or another. I had no idea what I was going to do, but I just knew at that point that I had to figure something else out. So for a couple of years, it was just Uber, living at home, and just trying a couple of things, just trying to figure out what my next move was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of conviction.
Yeah.
To stay away from the job. Like, particularly, it's like 1 year goes by, 2 years go by.
Yeah. But that feeling that I had when I got fired, I never wanted to feel that again.
Yeah.
So that was enough to keep me from going back.
Super interesting. So how did you find the niche you're in today? And how did it all start working for you? And just for people listening who don't know you, like, if you could tell us what your niche is as well, that'd be great.
Absolutely. So I teach people, my niche is real estate, commercial real estate specifically. And I teach people how to make money in commercial real estate, how to acquire commercial real estate, regardless if they have cash, regardless if they have credit. And it's funny, real estate was never on my radar.
Right.
So when I moved back home with my mom, I was going to start my skincare business again. But when I was living at home, I remember one of the issues that I had with the business is because I was paying this high rent, it was going to be hard for me to scale. Like, you need to invest in a lot in the front when you're just starting a business. So I was like, okay, I'm living with my mom now, but eventually I'm going to move back out. So how do I eliminate my biggest bill, which is my rent, so that I can invest more money in a skincare business? And that feeling was just like weighing on me. And I just started thinking to myself, okay, instead of paying rent, maybe I'll just buy a duplex, move a tenant in there. That'll eliminate my mortgage. And then now I can focus on my skincare business.
Nice.
So that feeling was just lingering. And then one day I was scrolling on social media and I saw an advertisement for this free webinar. They were saying, hey, we're going to teach you guys how to invest in real estate. Come join this webinar. So I just hopped on. I just hopped on the webinar. And that was my introduction to real estate. I have never studied it before, never even thought about working in real estate. And I just got so much value out of that webinar. At the end of the webinar, they upsold you to a mentorship, a high ticket mentorship. And I remember I joined the mentorship. I was a little bit hesitant because just going through everything that I went through before, just hitting rock bottom, I was just thinking like I could do so many other things with this money. But something in my gut was telling me to join this mentorship. So I was like, you know what, before I talk myself out of it, I'm going to just go with my instincts and I'm going to join.
Crazy.
And that's where it all happened.
How much, do you remember how much it was?
It was, actually it wasn't that bad looking back now. I think it was like around 2,500.
Yeah, but looking back now, it's like, at the time, that was crazy.
At the time, for me, that was a lot because I had never invested that much in a mentorship. And then I was just taking a chance. But that was my first somewhat, I don't know if I call it a high ticket mentorship now, but
it was for you though?
For me it was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for me it was.
How much were you making a month at that stage? Roughly?
So I was still doing Uber. I was probably making about maybe 1,500 to 2,000 per month doing Uber. Now so
that was a massive, I just want to emphasize like how big a commitment that was.
Yeah.
And it was a gut level instinctual thing for you.
It was.
Again, that's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause I realized that I started talking myself out of it, but I don't ever want to ignore that. When you get that feeling that's so strong, I was like, let me just go with it and just see what happens.
So you hop in to the community, like, you know, there's probably like buyer's remorse as there always is for us. But like, what was your experience like?
So after I joined, the first couple of days, I had regretted it. I instantly regretted
it. Oh, really?
Because I had no idea what I got myself into. So I joined this mentorship thinking that, you know, I'll just learn how to buy one little investment property. I'll cut out the middleman and learn myself. But when I joined the mentorship, they were teaching you how to build a six-figure real estate business. So they're teaching you how to, you have to invest in systems. You have to network with buyers, you have to write up contracts, you have to learn about marketing and sales. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know this is what I signed up for. So the first couple of days I regretted it, but I was just like, you know what? I'm in this position where I'm trying to figure out what my next move is. And as much as I really didn't want to do the mentorship, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to just lock in. I just made the decision. Like, I'm going to lock in. It was a year-long mentorship. And I said, I'm going to give myself 6 months. If I don't make any money in 6 months, then I'm out of here and I'm on to something else, which still to me wasn't the right mindset to have. But at the time, that's kind of how I was feeling.
Well, it got you to the next step.
So I had an amazing mentor, a really, really amazing mentor. His name is Isaac Grace. I always got to say his name anytime I'm in a room. So he really helped a lot with mindset. We would have mentorship calls 4 days a week. And I don't know if he did it intentionally, but every time we started our calls, the first 10 minutes, he would always talk about mindset. And then I've always had like a go-getter type of mentality, but I've learned through mentorship, just because you're ambitious, just because you're a go-getter, that doesn't mean that you need mindset conditioning. Mm. So prior to me joining the mentorships, I used to think that, you know, if something is just a little too hard for me or if I'm not comfortable, then it's just not meant to be. Like, if things weren't moving fast enough for me, it's not meant to be. It wasn't until I got in a mentorship that I learned that you have to push through these obstacles. This is just part of the journey.
Right.
I've learned that failure is like a cheat code to success. So really just having a good mentor, taking action, that's a big thing. Like now that I'm a coach in a mentorship, a lot of people hesitate on taking action. So as soon as I got in a mentorship, within like a couple of weeks, I just became an action taker. Everything that he said to do, I didn't overthink it. I didn't try to feel like I have to have it all figured out. I was just like, you know what, I'm going to do what I have to do and just figure it out as I go.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, you had the drive and you had the desire.
Yeah.
But it was just like, no one ever told you it's like, yeah, it's going to be really, really hard. Because I think like the message out there in the culture is like, it comes easy and it comes fast. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you peek behind the curtain of like any successful person like yourself, like this story right now.
Yeah.
It's like, there are moments after moments after moments where it's like, you just want to give up. You want to throw it in the towel.
Yep. Yep. And I remember going through that, even with the real estate, just starting off. I had went through this phase, like just doubting myself, like, I don't know anything about real estate. And now here I am trying to start a business. Like, can I really do this? But I mean,
what did your family think?
So when I told my family, even friends, when I told them that I was starting a business, my family supported. Well, you know what? I will say my family, they were supportive. They were supportive. But friends of mine, I would say they more so were just kind of doubted, you know. My family, I would say, not my whole family, but just some people in my family, they didn't want to see me get hurt. They didn't want to see me invest this money and put in all of this time and effort and get hurt. So they were just like, you sure you want to start a business? Like, that means you got to pay taxes. You're not going to get a refund. Like, they were just saying little things, but I just had to ignore it. I'm just like, yes, this is what I want to do. So I have a good support system. But as far as friends go, I did have to, unfortunately, cut ties with some relationships just because the negativity, it just didn't feed my purpose at the moment. It didn't feel good. And I was just so motivated to do what I had to do. And it's just like, if you're not going to support me, then I don't think, you know, we should really talk too much. So
sure.
I did have to, yeah, it was a journey where I had to kind of take this walk alone, honestly.
At what point in your own mind did you realize that it was going to work?
Shoot, that's a good question. It wasn't until I actually closed my first couple of deals, which wasn't that long. It only took me about 4 months into my mentorship. And once it actually happened, actually, you know what? A little bit before that, there was people who were already in the mentorship and it was working for them. So I was just like, I'm no different than them. Mm. Like, if it's working for them, it'll work for me. I just have to keep going. I think being in that mentorship, I started to realize that you can't just quit when things get tough. Like, I had got tired of quitting on myself. That's what it was. I had quit with the dance. I quit with the skincare business. Here I am going through entrepreneurship now with real estate. It's the same cycle, but I just didn't want to quit on myself. And I think I heard my mentor mention that, like, he got tired of quitting on himself. Mm. And when he said it, it resonated with me. So that's when I just made that decision. I'm not going to quit. And when I actually closed my first couple of deals, that was like the biggest confidence boost. Like, okay, I could actually do this now. Like, I made $15,000 on my first couple of deals. And I never made money like that before. So that is really what gave me the confidence that, okay, I could actually do this.
Dude, do you remember your first check?
Yes, I remember my first check. I was so happy. I was out driving Uber.
Were you in the Uber?
Yeah, I actually have a picture on my social media. So I was driving in the Uber and I got a call from the title company. They said, hey, the deal's closed. They were like, do you want us to deposit the money in your account? And I'm like, no, I want to feel the physical check in my hand.
Wow.
So I went and grabbed the check, snapped the picture. So yeah, I remember that day like it was yesterday.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so you start to experience a lot of success in real estate. I'm sure there's highs and there's lows of any entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, a lot of highs, a lot of lows. So once I closed those first couple of deals, I was living in Arizona at the time.
What year was this roughly?
This was 2020.
Okay,
so right during the pandemic. Yep, this is in the pandemic. And once I realized that this is something I was going to do, I said, okay, I need to relocate somewhere where I want to really pursue real estate. So I took some time and I moved to Florida, where I'm at now. I just studied a couple different real estate markets. Again, just going with my gut instinct. I don't know much about Florida, but I studied a few areas and something in my gut was telling me the Tampa area, which I'm glad I went to. For the first getting started, it wasn't consistent. I was closing deals. And then that's when I learned, I started leveraging partnerships, because even though I was making money, the money wasn't consistent and I needed to invest more money into my business. So I started getting around people. As I got into mentorships and I continued to invest in mentorship, my resources and my network started to grow. So now I'm around people who have gotten business funding and they want to get in real estate, but they're struggling. So it's like now I see ways where I could partner with other people where they have strengths where I'm weak at, I have strengths where they're weak at. And then that's when I started leveraging partnerships.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that like people don't realize until you get into the business journey. It's like, dude, mm-hmm. you don't have to do it all by yourself.
Yeah.
It's like you can partner with other people. You can partner with people who are really successful. Like look at school, like
yep.
Sam partnered with Alex Hormozi, and Hormozi's been able to bring a lot of people to the platform.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like working with someone, whether they're a freelancer or an employee, like that's a form of a partnership as well. It's like mm-hmm. there's that kind of lone wolf mentality that can be really, really hard to break. And once you kind of break that, you're like, oh, the whole like entrepreneur world just like opens up for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and a part of it too is some people, you just have to be okay with not getting 100%. Like just be okay with having a percentage, but you can do so much more when you have those partnerships.
Yeah, I'm gonna butcher this, but like Alex says a great thing in some of his content where he's like, mm-hmm. it's not about how much of the pie you have, it's about how big the pie is. Yeah. And if you can partner with someone and like make the pie like 1,000 times bigger than you could ever make it yourself.
That's good.
They're like, who cares? What really how big the slice is? Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
that's good.
Powerful. Like that. So how did you find out about school?
So I found out about school. So I've continued to invest in mentorship. One of my mentors, he started his school community. I had never heard of it before. And I just got this email notification say, hey, join my community. So I joined the community and I was just navigating through the school platform and it was just really user friendly. And at the time, so I had already been coaching and I was to the point where I wanted to start building my own community. But I really didn't want to do the Facebook thing. Some people build on Discord. So I saw one of my mentors, his school community. And that's how I kind of got introduced to it, just kind of seeing what he was doing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So you already were coaching people. You had a desire to start a community. And then mm-hmm. as it often happens, just magically out of nowhere, the solution presents itself to you.
So what happened was I was on a meeting with one of my mentors. And there's a few of us coaches in this one mentorship, right? And I was the only one that didn't have a community. So I remember him saying, he was like, listen, don't come on this next meeting unless you have a community. So I was like, all right, I got to start one. And I had already, the mentorship group that I'm in, a couple of mentorships, I coach people how to find real estate, how to evaluate the deals. But I was only doing classes here and there. Mm-hmm. So I just saw a gap. Like I need to be able to coach people more consistently. So that's why I had this idea, like how can I coach people? And I'm really passionate about getting people to make money in real estate. Like I want to help people get the information that I have. So I was like, I want to teach people more consistently, maybe do like some weekly classes. And then that's why I was like, well, the school community, even though my membership, I didn't have to pay for it. I was like, and I need to create another stream of income for myself. I was like, maybe I could use the school platform. It just seemed better than trying to use Facebook. I just liked how that platform was laid out.
Yeah,
that's where the idea came from. Just saying that I wanted to start a community where I could teach people more consistently how to evaluate some mm-hmm. deals. And I was nervous about starting it, but I just knew I had to start and then I'll just figure out the rest as I go.
So you're successful in real estate. That's going really well. You start to coach people. And now like you won the school games. So like you grew your monthly recurring revenue to like, what was it in like a 30-day period?
I think we're at about 20,000 per month. That was a couple of weeks ago. We're growing right now.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're able to like all of a sudden just like explode this extra arm and leg of your business in such a short space of time.
Yes.
Like, where do you see the future going? Like, because there's got to be huge potential for this thing that's just kind of like come out of nowhere in your life that's now doing 20K a month.
Yeah. So I got inspired from my business partner. I want to say my business partner, I can't leave him out. He's a huge reason of why the community is so successful. Mm. I always got to mention him, Ramel, because he's behind the marketing, right? So even though I had the idea to start the school community, it was going to be hard for me to get the community growing on my own.
Partnerships?
Yes. So leveraging partnerships. So he saw what I was, I had already started laying a foundation for the community. I hadn't invited anybody in yet. He kind of saw what I was doing. He was like, hey, I think I'm going to start a community as well. He said, if you're going to do weekly classes, I'll just bring you in mine. And, you know, there'll be some pay involved. And I'm like, nah, let's do this together. Like, you have the following, you have the resources. Let's just create a partnership. And that's what we worked out. So he's a big reason of why we have the success that we do.
Yeah. But that's an amazing message for anyone who listens to this, because,
yes,
you know, you're an expert in your niche.
Mm-hmm.
You've done the hard yards.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone through that entrepreneurial journey, the highs, the lows. You've got the gold.
Yeah.
You've got the lessons.
Yeah.
And why would you not partner with someone to make it bigger?
Yeah.
Like we were saying, like make the pie bigger.
Exactly. That's what I would love for other entrepreneurs who are thinking about starting like a school community. If you don't have the big following and you don't have a lot of money or resources to put in ads, if you have a skill that you know somebody will pay for, then just partner with somebody else. That's the, you bring value to each other.
Mm.
So yeah, partnerships. I'm That's big great. On partnerships.
So like going forward in the, for the future of your business, because so many of the community owners we talk to, they have like the two strands of their business. They have, they're still like in the trenches doing the thing, right? So in your case, it's real estate.
Yeah.
And then they also have the teaching other people how to do the thing.
Yeah.
Like going forward, like how do you plan on balancing that? And like, do you think you're going to shift your focus into more one than the other, or will you continue to do both? How do you think about that?
So with real estate, I love real estate, but I'm working in the business a lot. I want to get to a point where I can bring other people so I could just focus on working on a business.
Yeah.
And to be honest, real estate is one of those things where I think they say 90% of wealthy people have their money in real estate. So I always want to invest in real estate, but it's a lot of money to be made in education as well.
Sure.
So I want to work not so much in the real estate business. And then I do want to start shifting my focus with educating people more so that they have the information as well.
I mean, like the education space is just like,
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's blowing up like mad right now.
Yeah.
And particularly for people like you who have value to give, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. And it's like, I've recently heard that like people going to college, like that's starting to decline. And then the online education space, that's growing a lot more. A lot of the stuff that we get, the stuff that I'm teaching, you can't get that information in school.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, because by the time it's in the university curriculum, it's like outdated.
Yeah,
exactly. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or like you don't have someone who's kind of over your shoulder, like walking you through step by step, like how it actually works.
Yeah, and so, then the things that I teach is really my journey. It's hard. I mean, you can get a lot of the information on YouTube, but as far as me teaching people how I was able to acquire real estate without any cash or credit, like that's all my personal story. So it's hard to find that part of it, you know, on YouTube.
Yeah, you're not going to get that in a textbook.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
very powerful. And it's interesting, like this is a totally random thought, but like if you think back to like thousands of years ago, you would learn kind of like by like apprenticing underneath somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I never thought about this before, I guess in a way like school allows like you to have like lots and lots and lots and lots of apprentices at the one time.
Yeah.
Like it's like, it scales it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Wow. So what surprised you about your community so far?
What surprised me? Really how fast it's grown.
Mm.
I remember before I started, I was like, I would be lucky if I had like 5 people join a Zoom. And it's been like 50, 60, 70, the upwards of 70 people plus. What I also like is that we bring in other resources. So I teach real estate, but then we have a wide range of classes. So we have another coach. I teach real estate once a week. We have another coach. She teaches how to make money in digital products. We have another coach that teaches about credit repair. So we like have classes 5 days a week. So I just like how I was able, well, my mentor, I'll say he was able to bring in his resources so that now we could market to not just one group of people who are interested in real estate, but just a wider range of people.
Partnerships.
That's it.
The power,
it's all about partnerships. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
Well, like genuinely, like we're beyond delighted for you. Like congrats once again on winning the games. Like what are you looking forward to about the one day with Hormozy tomorrow?
Oh my gosh. I'm looking forward to meeting him in person.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching this YouTube video where he said that he made $100 million. And I was like, wow, I just want to learn like I'm excited to get the information that he's going to give to us. First of all, this is my first mastermind, so I really don't know what to expect. I was talking to my mentor, like, what exactly happens in a mastermind? And he says, you know, they're just going to share different ideas of how they were able to make millions. So I'm looking forward to getting the information and just bringing it back to the team.
Yeah, I think for anyone who's watching this from the school community and has watched the previous one-day masterminds, it's really interesting because it's actually just all about you. Okay. So, like, there's no agenda. And it just starts with like a blank piece of paper. And it's like, what do you want to learn? And then the whole thing just takes off from there, which is super powerful.
Okay. Okay. I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. Because then it's solving actual needs rather than like what people think they might need. You know?
And I'm just looking forward to being in a room with people that I'm trying to get to their level. Like, I'm not a millionaire yet, but I'm going to be around them and I could actually learn their ways. Just, I don't know, it's different being in those type of rooms. So I'm super, super grateful for the school community. Cause I mean, I got my first mastermind because of it. Yeah. So
class.
Yeah.
And I know that you have a dream goal of not just being a millionaire, but you want to do a million a month.
Yeah.
So like break down for us, like what it would actually take for you to get there.
We can do this in a school community. Like,
yeah.
We can. So we are. It's very affordable to join a community. It's only $47 per month. Mm-hmm. We have a goal to grow the community to 20,000 people. So we can get 20,000 people in the community. That'll be $1 million a month right there. And we can grow it past that, to be honest. We were just talking about that before we hopped on here. So we can definitely grow it past that. But yeah, I can see that just from this alone.
Crazy.
Just that one stream of income would give me $1 million a month.
And you imagine like a massive, massive real estate deal that you could pull off.
Yeah.
And all the work that you put into that.
Yeah.
And then once you do it once, it's gone.
Yeah.
Whereas like the beauty of this is like every single month, monthly recurring revenue.
Yeah.
And if you keep stewarding your community well, it's like then it just gets more and more valuable and more like big every single month.
Yeah, we want it to be like a university, you know. So we want it to be, we want it to be like a like real curriculum. We give homework assignments and everything. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Final question, Rashida. If you could go back in time to, I'm gonna say let's go where we started, a 27-year-old version of yourself, and you had like a couple of minutes of her time. What sort of things would you say to her?
I would say first thing is failure is the cheat code to success. So don't be afraid to fail. If you face obstacles, just know that that's a part of the journey. You just have to learn how to maneuver around those obstacles. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it was awesome to spend the time with you and hear your story. Really loved it. Yeah, genuinely. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it.